The following is a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 4, Text 28, given by His Holiness Gopalakrishna Goswami Maharaj, recorded on 18th of June, 2007, Washington, USA.
Gopi jana bala bhala dhari Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Text 28. Tasma aladharish chakram
Tasma aladharish chakram
Pratyanika bhayavaham
Pratyanika bhayavaham
Kanta bhakti bhavena
Kanta bhakti bhavena
Tito bhakta virakshanam
Tito bhakta virakshanam
Translation. Being very much pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Amrish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, which is fearful of the enemies and which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversities, responsibly. Purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki, a devotee being always engaged in the service of the Lord, may not be expert in self-defense, but because the devotee fully depends on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is always sure of protection by the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj said, Nai vod vijay parat duratya vaitanalyas tadvirya gyana mahamrita magnachita. Bhagavatam 7th Canto 9th Chapter Text 43. A devotee is always merged in the ocean of transcendental bliss of rendering service to the Lord. Therefore, he is not at all afraid of any adverse situation in the material world. The Lord also promises, Kaunteya prajanahi na me bhakta pranashati. O Arjuna, you may declare to the world that the devotees of the Lord are never vanquished. For the protection of the devotees, Krishna's disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, is always ready. The disc is extremely fearful to the non-devotees. Therefore, although Maharaj Amrish was fully engaged in devotional service, his kingdom was free from all fear of adversity.
Om Ajnati Virandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshuran Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovestam Stapitanyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Laguna Tanvitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakharvitam Sa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchala Gorangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu Suti Devi, Pranamami Haripe, Vancha Kalpatarbhyascha, Tipa Sindhu Bhavacha, Paditanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivachali Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Tasma adad hare shakram pratya nika bhayavaham ekanta bhakti bhavena prita bhakta virakshanam. So Shukadeva Goswami is the speaker of this verse, and in this chapter you're reading about the pastime of the great devotee Amrish Maharaj and how he was offended by Durvasa Muni. That's going to come in the following verse. So far we've seen that Amrish Maharaj was a great devotee. Shukadeva Goswami over here is saying that the Supreme Lord was very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj is one of our spiritual heroes. In mature life, people have heroes. They have movie stars, sports stars, and movie stars, sports stars are virtually like demigods in India. and they have pop stars and so on. They have mature heroes that they worship, adore, follow. So we in spiritual life also have heroes. And one of our heroes is the great King Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj was the emperor of the whole planet. Today we have so many tiny kingdoms and so many tiny countries. But at one time, there was one king for the whole planet, and that was Amrish Maharaj. And how a king, how full of opulences with all facilities, he gave the ideal example of how a head of state should perform. He dedicated all his senses constantly in service to the Lord. We often cite Amrish Maharaj's example of how he used all his abilities, senses, organs in service to the Lord, isn't it? We often quote Amrish Maharaj's example. For example, he used his eyes to see the beautiful form of the Lord. He used his hands to sweep the temple of the Lord. He used his nose to smell the tulsi leaves offered to the Lord. He used his head to bow down before the Lord. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it is said, that head that doesn't bow down before the Lord should be separated from the body. It's in the Bhagavatam. Anyway, the point is that when we come in front of the deity of the Lord, we should bow down before the Lord. Amrish Maharaj used his head to bow down before the Lord. He used his hands to sweep the temple of the Lord. Here we see a king, not just king of a small country, but the king of the whole planet, was rendering very humble service to the Lord, isn't it? By serving the Lord in humility, one captures the attention of the Lord. Just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read the story of the great king, King Pratapurudra. King Pratapurudra was the king of only of a small area. King Amrish was the king of the whole planet. About 500 years ago, King Pratapurudra was a king, but just of a certain region, Orissa and southern India. So he had a great desire to have darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu constantly kept refusing to give him an audience. Even Lord Nityananda approached him. His secretary Swarup Damodar approached him. But the Lord said, "No, I can't see a king. He has to deal with women and money. I can't see a king." Of course, Lord Chaitanya had a hidden motive behind it, So he's increasing his intensity. Anyway, finally the Lord agreed to see his son. And later on, some garments of the Lord were given to the king. And the king got such great pleasure when he got some garments used by the Lord. And when his son had the personal darshan of the Lord. However, on the occasion of Rath Yatra in Orissa, the king would do very menial service. The king would sweep the entire path on which the rath would move. He would personally sweep the entire path and then clean the entire path with rose water. He would personally wash the entire path with rose water. So Lord Chaitanya was so pleased when he saw the king doing such humble service that then the Lord revealed a very unique pastime of his to the king. Lord Chaitanya would divide the Rath Yatra person, would have 8 kirtan parties with each chariot. He would have 4 parties in the front, 1 to the left of the rath, 1 to the right of the rath, and 1 behind the rath. And they would be kirtan leaders in each of these parties. So with 8 kirtan parties accompanying each rath, they definitely did not need a sound system. You know, one of the key things that we do in our Rath Yatra, make sure we have a good sound system. And many times in my experience at Rath Yatra, the sound system doesn't work so well. So you really have to test it. But Lord Chaitanya had organized 8 kirtan parties with each rath. And in each chariot, 8 kirtan parties, there were 2 mridangas and 8 kartals. So 2 mridangas and 8 kartals in each kirtan party. And imagine, 8 kirtan parties accompanying each chariot. And Lord Chaitanya displayed one of his many transcendental pastimes here. He expanded himself simultaneously in 8 in all these kirtan parties. And only few selected devotees were able to witness this unique pastime of the Lord. And one of them was King Pratapula. The Lord was so pleased by his humble service, by his humble mood of service, that he revealed his, gave him special vision so that he could see this transcendental leela. And the king was in such great ecstasy when he saw this. So the point we're making is that the Lord is pleased when we do very humble service. And King Amresh was also an example of someone holding a very exalted position, king of the whole planet. But then to serve the Lord, he became the sweeper of the Lord. He became the sweeper of the Lord. He would sweep the temple of the Lord. Sometimes when we ask our devotees to do some menial service, sometimes they get offended. They say, come on, you want me to wash the pots? You want me to, you expect me to sweep the floor? You know, I come from such a high-class background. So, but here we see that these great kings were rendering such menial service to the Lord. So King Amresh would sweep the temple of the Lord every day. So that's why he's one of our spiritual heroes. Because he showed how our different senses can be employed in service to the Lord. Now, as described in the previous verse, Maharaj Amresh also gave up his attachment to his household situation, to the opulence in his kingdom, to the chariots, horses, etc. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that a devotee may have all these possessions, but he's not attached to them. He knows that he's attached to these possessions. Short-lived, are there for a short time. In the Bhagavad Gita, you have the famous example of a lotus leaf that is in water. but not touched by the water. In many countries, especially in countries with cold climates, you don't see lotus leaves. But in India and tropical countries, you do. So lotus leaf is in water but doesn't touch the water. So Maharaj Amrish gave a classic example. He had all these opulences, but he was not at all attached to them. He was completely attached from opulences. So Krishna may give a devotee opulences, but one should recognize that these are coming from by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and these opulences should be used in service to the Supreme Lord. As long as we use these opulences in service of the Lord, you can be free from any reaction. But if you want to use these opulences in your personal service, then you also have to be prepared to be responsible or to experience a reaction. So, Amrish Maharaj, the verse, Shukadeva Goswami is saying that the Supreme Lord was very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Amrish. So anybody who follows in the footsteps of Amrish Maharaj and engages in unalloyed devotional service will be able to attract the mercy of the Lord, will be able to attract the Lord's protection, and will be able to please the Lord. The Lord actually is also known as Adhokshaja. Krishna has innumerable names that characterize his different pastimes and transcendental qualities. And one of the various names of Krishna is Adhokshaja. So what does Adhokshaja mean? Difficult to obtain. But it is said by Lord Brahma in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Tapaseva Param Jyotir Bhagavatam Adhokshajam, that by performing austerities on the path of devotional service, one can attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who normally is very difficult to capture. So, the Supreme Lord was very pleased by the unalloyed devotion, unmotivated devotion. As Rupa Goswami explains, this is the highest devotion when they're unmotivated and unalloyed. So his devotion was unalloyed towards the Supreme Lord. The king had all opulences, but he was completely detached from all these opulences. And as it is said in the previous verses that describe Amrish Maharaj's glories, that how he practiced severe austerities also. He was a king, but he was not scared of practicing austerities. Austerity is one of the essential elements of religion. In today's environment, you see a lot of people talking about religion. There's no shortage of people talking about religion. But the question is, are they presenting genuine religious principles? You have people talking about religion, but they'll never talk about austerity, am I right? You can, whether it's the Hindu faith or the Christian faith or most, people who talk about religion, you know, they'll give big, big talks, but when it comes to austerity, they won't emphasize austerity. Why is that? Because they know that the moment they talk about austerity, people will leave them or not follow them. So you have people giving audiences and sermons to big audience, big crowds. You have the Art of Living and so many other organizations where when they have a program to give, they fill the stadium up with people. I was told that they had a program in Washington on Saturday night in one organization, and they had 10,000 people to book the whole stadium. So they do attract people, but they do not talk about austerity. Because austerity is something that people do not want to perform. And even if they want to talk about austerity, it's very limited austerity. So, Amrish Maharaj performed great austerities to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he gave up all material desires. And because he gave up all material desires, because he was rendering unalloyed devotional service, because he was using his senses, etc., body, in service to the Lord, the Supreme Lord was very, very pleased. And now what does Shukadeva Goswami further say? First, Shukadeva Goswami points out that the Supreme Lord was very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Amrish Maharaj to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the Supreme Personality of Godhead over here protects his devotee. Shukadeva Goswami says that because the Lord was pleased by the devotion of Amrish Maharaj, he protected him. And Shukadeva Goswami makes a general statement that the Supreme Lord is a protector of his devotees. In this verse, the word is bhakta abhikshananam. So bhakta abhikshanam means for the protection of his devotees. And prita means the Lord being so pleased. Ekanta bhakti bhavena. And the Lord is pleased when one performs unalloyed devotional service. So Krishna is also known as Bhakta Vatsala, isn't it? He is the protector of his devotees. And Prabhupada in the purport quotes this famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita text 31 of the 9th chapter. What is the famous verse that Prabhupada quotes in the purport from the Bhagavad Gita? So Krishna tells Arjuna, you declare to the world that my devotee will never perish. In other words, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you make the statement. Prabhupada explains why Krishna asked Arjuna and why Krishna didn't make the statement himself. Because if Krishna would have made the statement himself, it would not be as welcome as a devotee saying that. Because they would say, oh, Krishna, yes, Krishna is saying. But when a devotee says that, it has more meaning. And you see this concept even being practiced in the modern day advertising industry. The manufacturers of different products, they often get sports star, movie stars to endorse their products, isn't it? They say, buy this product. The manufacturer could easily say, buy my product, it's the best product on the market. But he feels that if he says that, the audience may say, hey, the guy's a manufacturer. Naturally, he's going to blow his own trumpet. But if a movie star or a sports star, as I said earlier, these movie stars and sports stars and pop stars are virtually like demigods today. You know, they have a huge following. So when they say, buy this product, people really buy it. That's why there's some movie stars and sports stars in countries like India. They get $2 million for one endorsement. They just have to go and work for one day and they get $2 million. Just to say, buy this product. And people know that this guy has been paid to endorse it. I don't think people are so foolish that they think that people are endorsing products for free in today's environment. Still they go and buy it. They know the guy has been paid to say this product is good. Still they go and buy it. So they're virtually like demigods. You know, if my guru says, buy this product, I have to buy it. So these so-called personalities have virtually become the gurus of their followers, and they cash in on that. But I believe the whole thing probably started from Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna, you declare to the world what that my devotee will never perish. So there are so many examples to show how Krishna protects his devotees. There's a famous saying, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke. Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. Who Krishna wants to protect, no one can harm, and who Krishna wants to harm, no one can protect. What Shukadeva Goswami is saying is that the Lord always
protects his devotees from enemies and adversities. So when we come to the platform of devotional service, we should have full faith and confidence that this time which I'm contributing to the path of devotional service is not going to go in vain. Sometimes, you know, when we spend time in chanting, hearing, and in doing practical service, our relatives and friends tell us, and our own mind tells us, come on, you are giving the valuable portion of your life in service to the Lord. What's going to happen to you? You know, we so many thoughts come in our mind. But we should know with full confidence that when you serve Krishna, you're never a loser. And rendering service to Krishna is the highest activity one can engage in. So Krishna protects his devotees, and the devotee knows that I am never alone. Even if a devotee goes in the forest, he knows the Lord is with me, and that my Lord is going to protect me. In the next devotion, Rupa Goswami says, a devotee hopes against hope that Krishna is going to protect me even in the greatest of difficulties. Now there are so many examples to show this. Of course, in this chapter, you're going to read the story how Durvasa Muni was very proud of his mystic powers and how his attempts were foiled by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. But there's so many other stories. In the Bhagavatam, 5th canto, you read the story of King Bharat. King Bharat was the emperor of the planet. He had also renounced the planet, renounced his kingdom. He had gone to the forest to practice meditation. And over there, he got attached to a baby deer. And he had one day, while searching for the deer, he left his body. Yam yam api smaran bhavam. Wherever your mind is at the moment of death, that's the type of body you obtain, isn't it? So he took his birth in the body as of a deer. But Krishna also says that my devotee will never perish and devotional service never goes in vain. So he did not have to stay for long in the body of a deer, and he soon took his birth as a brahmana, in a brahmana's family. But having made a mistake of having got attached to a deer in his previous life, he was able to remember his previous birth. He decided that now I'm not going to repeat the mistake I made. As they say, once bitten, twice shy. So one should be spiritually intelligent. He should see I've made these mistakes now, no more material body. So he decided that he was going to act in society as if he was deaf and dumb. He was not deaf and dumb, but he wanted to avoid any material prajalpa or any other material attachment. He was asked to guard the paddy field by stepmother after his father had died. He was pretending in society as if he was deaf and dumb, so people thought he was foolish. He was asked to guard a paddy field. And he was kidnapped by the dacoits. And the dacoits wanted to kill him and offer him as a sacrifice to Goddess Durga. We offer fruits and vegetables to the Lord, and the demon, people with demonic mentalities, offer animals. But some are extremely demoniac, and they attempt to offer human beings. I mean, offering human beings is a lot more demonic than offering animals. So these dacoits massaged him and bathed him, put on nice clothes, like we wash our fruits before we offer to the Lord. So these demons, they also, before they offer a human being to the Lord, they bathe him, massage him, and they were getting ready to offer him. But just Bharat was fixed in his meditation. He kept meditating in the lotus feet of the Lord while all this, while this exercise was going on, while this preparation was going on. And as the dacoits lifted the chopper to slice him, Goddess Durga came out from the deity, and with the same chopper, she sliced at her cords. That Bhad was saying. Now this is an extreme example. This example shows, and this is from the Bhagavatam, how a devotee was fixed in his meditation. Actually, Amrish Maharaj was in a similar situation. Amrish Maharaj got saved. He was fixed on his meditation. Sarve mana Krishna padara vindayo. May my mind always meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. So Amrish Maharaj was fixed in his meditation. And because he was fixed in his meditation, he was eventually protected by the Lord. So we have to understand that if you give your life to the Lord, the Lord's going to protect you. In the Mahabharata, you read the story of Draupadi. You know, Duryodhana had extended great hospitality to Durvasa Muni and his followers. Durvasa Muni always travels with 10,000 followers. Fortunately, he doesn't have to buy United Airlines or American Airlines tickets. Otherwise, he would have to charter quite a few planes to travel. You know, I recently went to a wedding in India, and that wedding party, the host whose daughter was getting married, he chartered about 15 planes to fly people for the wedding. I mean, tell people, just for the location where the wedding took place, they paid about $90,000 just for renting a hall. How much do we charge for giving a hall? $500? Okay, that was $90,000. Maybe we should increase it to $90,000. So anyway, that was a palace. So, Amrish and Durvasa Muni normally travel with 10,000 disciples, but he has mystic powers. So he doesn't need passports. He doesn't need sponsorship letters. He doesn't need visas. And he definitely doesn't need airline tickets. Would be great if he had those mystic powers, then you wouldn't have to wait in line for a green card and all that. You could just parachute into America, you know. So, Durvasa Muni was looked after very nicely by Duryodhana. And Durvasa Muni, as he was leaving, he just asked Duryodhana, if there's anything he could do in exchange, you know, if someone does you a favor, you often say, can I do something for you in exchange, isn't it? It's normal courtesy. You see, someone asks you, how are you, then you also extend the courtesy, how are you? It's a normal courtesy that one reciprocates. So Durvasa Muni also, as a courtesy, said, can I do something for you in exchange? You looked after me so nicely. So Duryodhana was an expert diplomat. He said, sure, just like you purified my house, you can also purify my cousin's house. And he said, please go and visit my cousin. This is where they live. But you should go there afternoon. Because when Draupadi and the Pandavas were going in exile, they had obtained from the sun god a special instrument called the Akshaya Patra that had the capacity to produce foodstuff. You could even feed 100,000 people. As many guests would come, it would supply unlimited food. We should have that in our time. It would supply unlimited food, but there was a small catch to it. It would supply food unlimitedly, but only as long as Draupadi had not eaten. Once she had eaten, then the supply would be resumed the next day. Very advanced technology. I mean, I don't think we can inject that technology in any instrument today. So anyway, Duryodhana requested the Rasa Muni to visit the Pandavas after they had their lunch. So Durvasa did exactly that. And when he went to the, when Durvasa Muni went
to Yudhishthira's hut. Yudhishthira welcomed them, and Yudhishthira Maharaj invited them, "Please have prasad. This is normal courtesy." Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, the highest is when a guest comes to your house, you offer him prasad. That is the best form of courtesy. But if you can't offer him prasad, offer him a glass of water. If you can't even offer him a glass of water, at least offer him sweet words of welcome. Actually, Prabhupada wanted in our ISKCON temple, especially the big temples in India, to have the facility where everyone who came in Vrindavan, Mayapur, Bombay, he should be offered hot prasad. Prabhupada told us, make them sit down and give them hot chapati and hot prasad. So we haven't quite achieved Prabhupada's target, but we've come a little bit close to it. We do offer now khichdi and halwas for many hours a day now to everyone who comes in and everyone who wants it. So at least we made some tiny progress. So anyway, Yudhishthira invited the Rasa Muni for prasad, and the Rasa accepted the invitation, but he said, let me go for my noon bath and come back. So when Yudhishthira turned to Draupadi to get prasad ready for 10,000 people, Draupadi was in anxiety. She started crying. She said, how am I going to prepare prasad for 10,000 people? We've already eaten for the day. And he invited the Rasa Muni. He made a mistake. Because the Rasa Muni has a reputation of being easily pleased and easily displeased. Like Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Ashutosh means easily pleased, easily displeased. So Lord Shiva, the Rasa Muni had this reputation. Draupadi was already in exile. And as you know, women have a tendency to get worried faster than men. So she was worried that now we are here in the forest, the Rasa Muni is going to come back after doing bath and the 10,000 followers, and we'll have nothing to offer him. And he's going to curse us further. So a devotee, in pleasure and pain, only has one person to turn to, isn't it? Who's that?
Krishna.
Okay. So she turned to Krishna. Please protect us in this difficult situation. And Krishna immediately reciprocated with his devotee's anxiety. As Draupadi was expressing her anxiety, somebody came and knocked on the door. There were no bells at that time. And Krishna said, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat. Draupadi said, I have nothing to eat. There's nothing in the house. Krishna wouldn't believe it. He said, let me go and check myself if you have something or not. And there he went to the pot, and there he found a small piece of vegetable stuck to the vessel. So he said, nothing to eat here. Plenty for me. He took that one grain. And what does it say? In the Bhagavatam, 4th canto, Narada Muni says, when you water the root of the tree, you water all the branches. When you put food in the stomach, you feed the entire body, isn't it? So when Krishna was ate that, all the brahmanas, everyone, was also satisfied. And all of a sudden, the Rasa Muni and his followers felt that they were getting hiccup. So the Rasa Muni and his followers knew, you know, you get his hiccups when you overeat, you know. People love to overeat, isn't it? That's why overeating is one of the major causes of many diseases. And the doctors told me that in America, 30% of the people are overweight. So the Rasa Muni and his followers, they all started getting hiccups. So the Rasa Muni already had burnt his fingers with Ambarish Maharaj. He already knew what it means to offend a Vaishnava. So he figured, if we go and go to Yudhishthira's house, and he would have prepared, his wife would have prepared such many, so many offerings, and we don't eat, it would be a great offense, isn't it? If you don't eat in a host house, that's also being discourteous. So he decided, okay, let's run from here. And all of a sudden they got a hiccup. They could understand this must be Krishna, some transcendental leela. They were hungry and all of a sudden they were full. So Krishna then told Bhimsa, go and call the Rasamani, tell him prasad is ready. So Bhimsa went and said, Rasamani, prasad is ready, please come. But there was no response because the Rasamani had fled. So Krishna protects his devotees. So the point is that you should have faith that if you give your life to Krishna, if you work for Krishna, if you spend your time in devotional service, you're not going to be a loser, you're going to be a gainer. Because many times we hesitate when we, in terms of giving our life to Krishna. Another point that is made in the concluding lines of the purport is, therefore all the Amrish Maharaj were fully engaged in devotional service. His kingdom was all fear of, was free from fear of adversity. So, because Amrish Maharaj was a king, God-conscious king, and because he also engaged all his citizens in service of the Lord, there were no calamities in his kingdom. There were no calamities. Just like people today also remember Ram Rajya, isn't it? Why do they remember Ram Rajya? Amongst other things, Ram Rajya was noted for a period of extreme prosperity in Ram Rajya's, in the rules, in the golden days of Lord Ramachandra's rule. There was no old age, no disease, there was no death, there was no mental anxiety, there was no anxiety of any type. And people could even choose their own moment of death. If you gave the choice today, the funeral homes would be bankrupt, isn't it? Because nobody would ever choose the moment of death. So, in Ram Raja's time, there was no misery at all. So similarly, during Amrish Maharaj's rule, there was no adversity in society. There was no calamity in society. Everybody was happy, peaceful, because they were all engaged in. Engaged in what? What were they engaged in? Whatever great men do, others will follow. If the leader is God-conscious, the population will be God-conscious. If the leader is a debauchee, the population will also be a debauchee, isn't it? So because the leaders today are debauchees, the followers are also debauchees. So to summarize, Shukadeva Goswami here is mentioning the point that Amrish Maharaj was rendering unmotivated devotional service, and the Supreme Lord was very pleased by his devotional service. And the Supreme Lord is very pleased by the devotion of his devotees. So we should engage in unmotivated devotional service. And that's the path of pleasing the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna.